Welcome, everyone, and thanks for joining me this hour. You are listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transcendental Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that we listen to the world through the planets, through astrology, and through a couple of other metaphysical tools as well. This is October 1st, 2024. Can you believe it? You know, always you're just like, you know, I feel like as an astrologer, I'm always looking forward. You know, I'm always looking at the months or maybe even a year or two ahead. But somehow, you know, I looked at this date and I wanted to put, you know, 9:30, and all of a sudden it's like, nope, it's October 1st, 2024. So welcome to October. And on this show, we are going to look ahead. We're going to mostly look at this week because we're going to be looking at the cosmic dance. But of course, this week, I'd like to say we're looking at this week and beyond, because we have a new moon, which of course then we're always looking at the next 29 and a half days with a new moon, a new moon cycle. But this one is a solar eclipse. It's going to occur at 10 degrees of Libra on Wednesday, right before noon Pacific time. So that's 11:49 Pacific time. So you might convert that to wherever you are in the world. And this is not a complete solar eclipse, but many, many people will see it. And especially, you know, when I looked at the map, there are parts of South America. There are certainly parts of, I think, both the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans. So if you're lucky enough to be living on an island somewhere, you may see part of this, you know, part of this solar eclipse or what it's going to look like. So for a lot of details about what's going on this week, because usually I don't cover every single thing that's going on, but where I do cover that is in the article that I write for Mark's Power Peak, which is that online newsletter that you can get available for free just by signing up at 12listen.com and then get it delivered to your email address. And you can then check it out because, you know, it says where the moon is at any given time, what the planets are doing, and there's also a number of other articles. So I want to keep plugging that because I think for many of us, you know, we like to know on a daily basis, and you can't hold all of that in your head, but maybe each morning you can just kind of say, okay, what's going on today? And then, of course, you can interpret the different things according to how it applies to your life. So for the cosmic dance this week, the really big thing, of course, is that solar eclipse. And it's interesting because as we wrap up September, we're also wrapping up that current lunar cycle. It restarts again with that new moon on Wednesday, October 2nd. Now, one thing about this one is that it looks like a ring of fire. So in fact, you might have heard some people talking about that. This is one of those eclipses where the moon isn't close enough to the Earth because, you know, those orbits, they sway a little bit back and forth. And so there are times when the moon is really close to the Earth and times when it's not. Well, when it's this far away, then what happens is it does block the sun, but not completely. So that's where we get that visual effect of having a ring of fire for those who are under the path of this particular eclipse. So go check it out if you want to. And I would encourage you to go to, like, one of the sites I really like is NASA, NASA. Go check that out or something else that will give you all the details if you're interested. But one of the things, and here again, especially around eclipses, but I do this all the time in my life, I think I've just become accustomed to the idea that whatever kind of is in my face is probably something important. You know, something, especially if something is a little bit out of the ordinary. And in fact, 2 days ago, I was sitting in my backyard and thinking, kind of reminiscing about the fact I used to see quite a few toads out there. And I liked that because toads are the keepers of treasure. And I like the symbols of animals, you know, the birds and the toads and the rabbits and even the coyotes. And so I thought, you know what, I just hadn't seen any toads in a long time. And part of that reason is because here in Nevada, we have quite the water issue. You know, we've got to be very careful with the water. And so the water department has pretty much not made it illegal, but you need to get rid of your grass. And so I did that a couple of years ago. because my whole yard was grass, and got rid of the grass and re-landscaped with desert plants and rocks. But consequently, there aren't very many toads. It's very rare that I see them. And so I was kind of sitting there going, oh, you know, I kind of miss the toads. Well, then somebody came over last night, and as she was leaving, she's standing on the porch, and she kind of started to scream. And there was a big, and I mean a big toad out there, like maybe almost the size of your fist. And it was just sitting on the front porch. And I thought, oh my God, that is so wonderful. But I'm saying this partially, not only because a toad appeared, but see, it's like I was already thinking about toads. Like, where are the toads? And so that is how life works. We attract these messages, these omens. Now, there again, you can interpret it any way you want. But it's like whatever we're paying attention to is likely something that is coming into our lives or it's going to be important. So especially, though, around eclipses, it feels to me like we're literally being showered with messages and omens and things happening. And so I would encourage you to pay attention. But as I was looking at the NASA site, and I didn't read it, you know, completely, but there was a part of me that thought, you know what, I'm not an astronomer. I want to know a little bit more, but boy, I there's not enough time to master all this information. But the thought that occurred to me was this just sounds very complicated, even though there are simple ways to describe how an eclipse happens. But on the other hand, maybe sometimes we don't need to know the how. We don't need to know all the details. But I thought, you know, when I'm talking about it as, you know, astrologically, people are probably thinking the same thing. Oh my God, this is so complicated. Why do we have to go through all this? So what I thought we'd do today is we're going to talk about this eclipse from an astrology standpoint, because I'm assuming you're interested in the astrology or you wouldn't be here this morning. But we're going to kind of take it one layer at a time, like peeling an onion. You may have heard that analogy before in terms of that really applies to astrology because there are so many layers, but they're all related. But if you kind of start at the top, start at the outside, the obvious, and then take it one layer at a time, maybe then you just continue to get meaning without diving into something that just feels overwhelming. So that's what we're going to do is just take the various layers and see how far we get today with the information. And before we get started, I do want to invite you over into our private group over on Facebook. And by the way, if you have never been there before, an easy way to get there is to go to the 12radio.com site. And you'll see a lot of tabs there, including the On Demand, which is an area where you can find archived radio shows, about 6 months of archived radio shows, not only this one, but all the hosts here on 12 Radio. But there's also a tab that says chat. And when you click that, it will literally redirect you over to Facebook into the area where our private group is. And if you've never joined before, all you have to do is ask to join, and our producer, Jay Varvel, will be there and he'll let you in. So during the shows, we do use that chat room, and people can make comments or ask questions. Now, here again, some of the hosts are very interactive with that. I'm not quite so much. I will admit that, but I do try to keep an eye on it. So if somebody has a question or a comment, you know, I will try to take a breath and look over there and see what's going on. And I want to welcome the people that are already there today. Hey, it's good to see you, James and Leslie and Alisheo. And thank you very much for coming. And, you know, because it's always good to see your faces, hear your comments, that kind of thing. And I do always check that out after the show for sure. But, you know, I am always like speaking a, you know, million words a minute, right? So here we go. Let's just do this overview and just take this one little piece at a time. So remember, solar eclipses occur always on new moons. Now, not every new moon is an eclipse. It depends on the various positions of the sun, the moon, and the earth. And in a typical year, we have two, maybe three sets of eclipses. So they're not rare, but they're important because they're not everyday occurrences. Now, the north and south nodes of the moon, which are actually mathematical calculations, remember that. They're not something actually out there in the sky. They're not physical, but they're mathematical calculations that have to do with the intersection of the moon's orbit around the Earth and the Earth's orbit around the sun. Now, there again, I know some math, but not that much, so I don't try to get into that. I just say, where is it? You know, somebody else calculate that and tell me where it is. That's what computers are for, right? So when there's an eclipse, it also means there is some intersection, there is some interaction between the sun and the moon and the north and south nodes of the moon. So that's where we're going to start, or at least talk about some of that today, about what the influence of that could be. But we're also, I would encourage you, look at your natal charts, because if you really want to take this from the top, okay, this is at 10 degrees Libra. Where do you find 10 degrees Libra in your particular chart? It's somewhere around that circle in one of those 12 houses. And if you know the definition of those houses, we talk about them quite a bit, but if you know those definitions and you know if 10 degrees of Libra sits there, that's where there's going to be a new beginning. That's most likely where you're going to have the most profound influence. Now, of course, because of the way astrology works as a system, it could be opposite or it could be square that house. But let's just start and say, you know, if it's in your 10th house, it might have something to do with career, might have something to do with work, or maybe it has something to do with your reputation, what you want to do, you know, how you want to put yourself out in the world, how you want to be known in the world. If it's in your 4th house, maybe it has to do with extended family or home. If it has to do with your 6th house, maybe you want to have a whole new beginning with your health or with a pet, because 6th house has to do with pets. And I'm not going to go there. It was a funny kind of thing that kind of occurred to me the other day. But in any case, it could have to do with pets. It could have to do with, you know, wanting to really change your routine habits if it's in the 6th house. If it's in the 7th house, maybe it's about a very intimate relationship, wanting to get married, or maybe really change the rules of somebody you're married to right now, you know, whatever that partnership is, or even a partnership at work. So knowing where it's going to occur in your chart could be very enlightening. However, one thing I'm also going to say is don't sweat this. You know, really, the things will come to you that you need to know or understand. Don't push it. Don't force it. But just even be, you know, if you're interested, even as learning a little astrology, then check it out. Where is it happening for you? And a new moon, solar eclipse, now, as opposed to a full moon lunar eclipse like we had 2 weeks ago, the emphasis now is on new beginnings. The emphasis 2 weeks ago was on ending, letting things go, wrapping up all the loose details, looking forward, seeing where we want to go next. But this one, the new moon, is always new beginnings, initiating new projects and relationships, or opening a new chapter in something that already exists. But there's this idea that I've cleaned the slate, you know, I've cleaned things out, and now I want to open something up. I want to go forward. So as we go a little bit deeper, we know that the sun and moon are together at 10 degrees. That's the new beginning. But this new beginning is in Libra. So how is that different than if this was in Aries, or if it was in Taurus or something like that? Well, one thing, Raymond Caldera, who is the astrologer that I love when it comes to the moon, he calls this one the White Knight. That's what he's dubbed the name of this particular new moon in Libra, is the White Knight. Now, I think this one is a particularly compelling kind of analogy, because if you take it to the story, and of course the story that, you know, conjures up for me are the visions of King Arthur and Guinevere and Lancelot and the tales of the Round Table. And to me, it really encompasses so many of the ideas of Libra, because it has to do with idealistic love, you know, that passion, intimate, sexual, idealistic love, romance. Also, because it's not just about passion, it's about romance, the beauty, the trappings of it. It's about harmony and living some kind of idyllic life, like in Camelot. That's a very Libra idea. And it also incorporates that idea of the Knights of the Round Table. They need something to do. You know, if you remember the movie or if you've read any of the stories, and of course, how many books are there out there on the mythology and the idea of King Arthur, who many people believe was a real king in England, but so much of it has become mythology. But just they needed something to do. When Camelot is established and everything's going well, or there's all this beauty and everybody's picking flowers or whatever, they need something to do. Those knights need, you know, they need the enthusiasm and that whole idea of Aries, you know, the opposite of Libra. So they need a quest. They need to quest for justice. And so Libra is one of the signs, along with, like, especially Sagittarius, that has to do with the establishment of a legal code. You know, trial by jury. There again, in a lot of the mythology, Arthur and that whole period was associated with people. You don't just kill somebody because they do something you don't like. You know, if they do something you don't like, you have to accuse them. You have to take them to court. They get to be judged by either a jury or a judge. So some of those ideas are very, very Libra as well. You know, creating balance in society through a system, a legal code, a legal system. So there again, that covers, if you just even think of, you know, King Arthur and some of those stories. And like I said, it's so much more than just the movie. I'm talking about, you know, like the many, many, many books that have been written on the mythology. And some of them are totally myth. Some of them, you know, try to establish some of the truth of what was really going on. But in any case, you know, it's kind of something that's been there forever and people continue to write about it. So if you take this broad view, the overview of Libra ruled by Venus, the planet of values, what do you get? You get some of these basic ideas, relationships, partnerships, being together, having the rules of engagement, and it's intimate partnerships as well as business partnerships and other partnerships. It's creating beauty and balance in our lives. That's why we get Libra associated with music and culture and dancing and fashion and artistry and creativity, because Venus is about how we make ourselves and our spaces attractive. Venus really speaks to our conscious mind about what's attractive and what's not, what's valuable and what's not. And of course, the big issue of the scales of justice. Libra is, that's their icon, that's their symbol, the scales of justice. So it's very much about fairness, equity, negotiations, arbitration, judges, diplomacy, and those legal proceedings. So here again, it could be, you know, that we say, oh, you know, here's this new moon in Libra, it's all about love and romance. No, for some of us, this could be the beginning or the revision of a contractual agreement of some sort, or new information regarding a negotiation or a contract or a legal proceeding. So recognize that the overall is that we want more balance and harmony in our lives. So is that because we've got a relationship out of balance, or is it because something else in our life needs to be recalibrated? So there's a lot of different ways this could go. So once again, don't worry about it. Don't stress about it. But just kind of let it be. Where, and you know, just ask yourself, where do you want to create more beauty? Where do you, you know, like, and sometimes it's just so simple. I mean, sometimes I think, you know, making your bed in the morning, and I know somebody wrote a whole book on that, you know, start with making your bed in the morning, because there are so many ways that, you know, that we kind of reflect back to our consciousness that things are orderly or things are nice or pretty or comfortable. And a lot of times those are little tiny things we do. Like, do we get up and, you know, put on something that we love and say, hey, you look great when you look in the mirror? Or do you go, hey, I'm not going to see anybody today. I think I'm just going to put on my sweats and blah, blah, blah. Now, I'm not saying that you don't need to be comfortable, but I'm saying that, you know, who are we doing this for? And the person that's most important is ourselves. So how are we creating that sense of balance and harmony for ourselves? How are we feeling attractive? Because we want to attract everything in life that we want to attract. And it's not so much about manipulating other people. It's about us, you know, doing something because we like it. And like I said, then when we pass by the mirror, we go, woo, I love your hair, or I love that blouse, or I love whatever it is. You know, that's probably the basis of all of it, is saying, what do you find attractive, and go for that. You know, get into it, and no apologies. So now we're going to peel away another layer. Because I told you, we're going to talk about those nodes as well. Well, the sun and moon are sitting at 10 Libra, but the south node of the moon is sitting at 6 Libra. So in astrology, when, you know, just like in life, if people are all sitting together, or planets are sitting together, or in this case, it's that mathematical calculation, but it's the south node of the moon is sitting right there with the moon and the sun, we know that that energy is infused. It becomes part of the process of not only the lunar cycle, but of this eclipse in general. Now, if the south node is at 6 Libra, that puts the north node at 6 Aries, because they're always opposite. So we're going to kind of look at both of those things, because in many ways you can't separate them, right? Because they come as a pair. And there's lots and lots of books, there's lots and lots of thinking about the nodes. But the place that I really subscribe to, or where I've really settled on it in my life, and I could change, but I see the south node as really just representing our past. Now, sometimes it could be past lives, but it's probably and certainly our childhood or our recent past. But the south node represents those ideas and habits that we have ingrained. They're familiar. They help us cope, because they're instinctual and automatic. And I sometimes call the south node running home to mama. And what I mean by that is, you know, when we don't want to think about something, when we have automatic responses, you know, a situation, we're confronted by a particular situation, we're more likely to go to an instinctual and habitual response than we are to think of something new. That's what the south node is. It's all the ways that we have learned to cope, that we have learned to live in life. But just because we do that doesn't mean it's the best way. So when I think of this, I think of the south node as the past and the north node as the future and of the destiny where we're going in this lifetime. And I really do imagine that the soul is talking to us. And if it did, it would just say, okay, very good. You learned that. You got it down. You perfected that. Let's learn something new in this particular lifetime. Let's stretch ourselves beyond that kind of thinking. So now in this case, we're talking about stretching ourselves beyond some of the principles of Libra, which is being coupled, being partnered, doing things that are beautiful and harmonic. You know, and here again, if you're thinking of it as the south node, it could be that some of those ideas have become detrimental. Like, we'll do anything to make it look beautiful, even if the insides aren't beautiful at all. I mean, that's one of the downfalls, is believing that if something's beautiful, it must be valuable. Well, that's not necessarily true, as we all know. You know, something can look really good on the outside and be totally spoiled on the inside. So as we look at this, I also want to remind you that we're talking about where the nodes are right now in the sky. We're talking about the south node in Libra, north node in Aries. Now, in your particular chart, it's not likely that that's where the nodes were when you were born. So if you want to know a little more about that, look at your own nodes. And I also encourage you, one of the better books that I've ever found on the nodes is by Jan Spiller, and it's called Astrology for the Soul. And I think her writing, it's very comprehensive, but she also makes things very, very simple. And so when she's writing about the south node in Libra and north node in Aries, here are some of the things that she says. So here again, I think this applies to us and to the whole world at this point. These are not your individual nodes, but it's the influence of what's happening right now. So think about it that way. And that's what gets infused into this eclipse. So the qualities that we want to leave behind, because it would be some of the shadow side of probably both Aries and Libra, it's seeing ourselves only through other people's eyes. You know, instead of seeing ourselves for who we are, it's always who I am in a relationship. And you know how some people, especially, I think when we're teenagers or we're very young, you know, we see our lives as really meaningless if we're not in a partnership. Now, where we ever got that idea, I'm not sure. I think it's has something to do with genetics. But in any case, there can be a debilitating selflessness to just getting too strongly embedded into the Libra energy. You know, that idea that we just have to be nice all the time, Mr. and Miss Nice, you know, that we can be obsessive and attached to fairness and justice. You know, it's got there again, we're the white knight up on the horse, and we are going to create justice in the world, even if we have to kill everybody to do it. We can have a codependent attachment to external harmony. There again, to everything looking good, but not really looking at what's going on underneath. And we can be that, you know, what is called tit for tat mentality. You know, everything has to be even, Steven. Everything has to be perfectly balanced, you know. I remember in the movie The Holiday, one of the little girls said, she has more marshmallows than me. You know, that we pay attention to all these little markers, these external markers of what is perfect or what is equal or what is fair. And you know what? The truth is we're adults. And we get to choose. We get to redefine what equality and fairness and harmony means. Because quite honestly, harmony for you may not look at all like what harmony is for me. You know, you could come into my office and see 20 Oracle and Tarot cards spread out all over the desk and go, oh my God, what a mess. Whereas to me, it's a beautiful picture. It's a story unfolding. So that's a thing to remember. Getting away from these really harsh or set in stone identifications or definitions of what all these things mean. Maybe that's what the eclipse will be for a lot of us, being able to do that. So here again, looking at some of Jan Spiller's things, she goes, let go of some of that idea of just always seeing yourself in partnership or through somebody else's eyes. And she goes, this is what you should embrace. And you'll recognize these as Aries qualities: independence, self-awareness, trusting yourself, having courage, constructive self-interest. I love that. Constructive self-interest. Not talking about being selfish, but being interested in yourself and you know, advocating for yourself. Moderation in balance in intimate relationships, and moderation in giving. And the reason that's there is because it's not to put a bad name onto giving, but you know, how often are we always giving of ourselves or of our resources? And what are we doing? We're trying to buy somebody's attention. We're trying to buy their love. We're trying to buy their approval. So once again, it's not about whether you give or you withhold. It's about understanding what your purpose is. What's your intention? Are you giving from fullness, or are you giving to buy something from somebody else, or to maybe even manipulate somebody else, make them feel like now they've got to, you know, reciprocate? It's about being able to self-nurture. So once again, it's not that there's negative about Libra, but it's like getting out of the imbalance of Libra, because let's face it, when we try to go towards perfection, and you know, it's interesting, Virgo is often the sign that gets the reputation for having to be perfect. But in my experience, it's been a lot of Libras that I see as really perfectionists. Like, it just has to look a certain way. It just has to be balanced a certain way, or they just can't live with it. And so there is this idealistic, you know, Camelot. It's just got to be a certain way. So in this eclipse, it just goes, okay, guys, where have you gotten out of balance? Even with a really good thing. You know, it's kind of like too much of a good thing is not good. Well, that can be true. So as we discuss the sun and moon having company, it's not just the nodes that are having a say, or they're part of the thread of this melody. The other thing going on is that Mercury, the planet of thinking and communication, he's sitting at 11 Libra. So he's just sitting 1 degree away from the sun and the moon. So you know that that has an influence on what's going on in this energy. And once again, think of this as a party, or think of this as a little, you know, a little dinner table, and you've got the nodes there, you've got the sun and the moon, and now you've got Mercury, and you know, he's jabbering away or putting in his two cents about what should be going on. So as a planet of thinking, learning, and communication, we know that during this period, or with this eclipse, we're interested in thinking about discussing discussing and communicating about all those Libra topics that we just discussed. So whether it's love, whether it's creativity, or whether it's justice, we're interested in talking about it, going back and forth, sharing our ideas, learning something new. But I think on an internal level, this is an opportunity to really look at rearrangement of our priorities in these areas. Rebalancing, using the Libra scales, rebalancing our thinking. And here again, because you know, so often that word balance is just is so important. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. But as we look at this, you know, it really made me start thinking about relationships and what we consider balance. Because in many, many relationships, they're unbalanced if you look at it just from the outside, in terms of the power struggle, you know, or the power balance. And just because something doesn't look equal, doesn't look balanced, doesn't mean that it's not healthy, and it doesn't mean that it doesn't work. And the examples that I'm thinking of are things like in a work situation, we do feel subordinate to a manager or to a director or to the owner of the company or to the president, whatever it is. Now, that's a natural thing. We're not going to say, oh, yeah, we're all equal. Now, we may be equal in some ways, but the natural part of like even being a mentor or having a guide, having a teacher, is that we are willing to put ourselves as a subordinate to learn something. That is the natural order of that particular relationship. You know, the same thing happens like if we're looking for professionals. Like if you're looking for a plumber or electrician or a lawyer or a banker, if you're looking for that therapist or spiritual guide, or maybe it's a realtor or, you know, whatever it is, you're expecting that person to have knowledge, experience, and expertise that you don't have. Because if you had it, you wouldn't be looking for it outside of yourself, right? So when we seek out those kinds of guides, when we seek out that kind of expertise, we're not making ourselves level with that person. I mean, on some level we are, because we're paying for a service. You do this and I'll do that. But we expect and we tolerate different levels of dominance and subordination because it has to do with the purpose of the relationship. So a variation in power or authority is only problematic when the balance isn't right for the situation, or maybe we went into it and then the rules change. Or maybe just in general, we're dissatisfied with the arrangement. So think about it that way. And once again, I want to say immature, but it's just to look at something and say everything has to be equal. I need the same number of marshmallows as you. You know, that's a child's kind of way of looking at balance and harmony. And we all know this from all the relationships we've ever had. You know, every relationship can be different. You know, friend, intimate partner, parents, family, whatever. Every relationship is different. And even though there are some nice guidelines we can go by, you know, you can't look at somebody else's relationship and really judge it as good or bad. Because once again, do you know what their lessons are? Do you know what their purpose is? Do you know what they're getting out of this? Do you know what their life path is? And my guess is the answer is no. You don't know it completely. You may think you do. I know I often think I do, but maybe not. And so on a daily basis, on a momentary basis, you know, we learn to go with the flow. And see, that's very Libran, being able to dance, shift our weight from one foot to the other. And in fact, I've told this story before, but I feel like balance is, you know, a concept that I learned literally. I remember the moment or when I had this kind of transcendental experience. I was taking a number of dance classes and several different things happened. One, I was taking different kind of classes. I was taking tap and modern and ballet and something else. And one thing, I felt like I was always getting yelled at because my hands were too soft in, you know, when I was taking tap. And the teacher's like, what are you doing with your hands? And I'm realizing I'm holding them like a ballerina. And then I go to the ballet class and, you know, I'm turning my feet out and doing this other thing. And it's like, what are you doing with your feet? What are you doing with your arms? And it all had to do with what the purpose was. And I wasn't doing a really good job of changing from one class to the next in terms of the rhythm or the balance. But the other thing that I learned, that it just kind of hit me, and this is where, like, literally, it just hit me like a lightning bolt, about how in my life, I always saw perfection as being symmetrical, perfect. You've got five marshmallows, I've got five marshmallows. But you know what? In ballet, it is not that way at all. When a ballerina or, you know, any ballet dancer is doing a particular pose, they are not symmetrical from side to side. The left arm may be above their head. The right arm may be out to the side. They're balancing and their legs are in different positions, but they can strike a pose to create perfect balance. But it's not symmetrical. And it also, even though the poses are similar from person to person, it really has to do with their body type. And it has to do with their structure, their weight balance, their ratio. And I remember I was in a ballet class and all of a sudden it just kind of hit me. Now, of course, at the time I was also into a lot of metaphysics. So, you know, it's not maybe that surprising because somehow it just kind of came all together. But I remember thinking, this is amazing. Balance and perfection in life is not that every single person is the same in form. You know, it's not. It's different from person to person. And how I create balance in my tap class may be very different than how I create it in the ballet. And, you know, from one pose to the next, you know, it doesn't do me any good if I get into all these rules about what should happen if I fall over on the floor, right? So the trick is to know what your real goal is. It's not about looking for that external perfection or that exact symmetry. It's about feeling it and knowing what is the balance for you. So maybe more than anything else, that's what this particular eclipse can do for us, is have us think through and look at, where do we feel off balance? Where do we feel like we're about to fall over? Or where do we feel like we're just not, you know, we're dizzy, you know? We're just not keeping it together somehow. And that's going to be different from one person to the next. And remember too, that this isn't just about relationships with other people. Maybe we're out of balance with our schedule. Maybe we're out of, you know, balance, or we need to recalibrate with our diet, with our nutrition, with our balance between sugars and fats, or our balance between exercise and relaxation. It can be the relationship we have with a job or with work or with a hobby. It can be with a belief system. You know, do you ever find that? I mean, I certainly do that. I just get totally out of control with a particular belief system, and that's it. I'm falling over because I just can't seem to hold it together because of a belief system. I've gone to one extreme or another. So during this time, we may realize how we've become attached to definitions of fairness and justice and balance, or what's right and what's wrong, and how this works. And so talking about being crazy, this is our opportunity to, in some ways, take a step back and stop the madness by looking at our own attachments. And, you know, maybe we need some new rules, new ways of looking at it. So that brings me to another planet that's actually operational during this week and during this time with the eclipse, and that's Mars. Mars, the planet of action. Well, he's sitting over in Cancer. And, I mean, talk about rules about how family life should be and attachments to home and family. You know, that's Cancer. And Mars, though, he's sitting in a square, and he is squaring Sun, Moon, Mercury, and the nodes of the Moon. So he's adding a little friction there. And what that makes me think is he is literally saying, yeah, something is off here. I'm not able to really, you know, get done what I want to get done. And it's time to recalibrate that scale of what you think is fair and what you think is not, or what equity and harmony looks like. Come on, get with the program. So I think there is definitely that push coming from Mars that's telling us that it's time to recalibrate. Now, something else going on, and I do want to mention this too. Now, these planets, two of them, in fact, aren't so much doing anything with the eclipse itself in terms of the sun and the moon. But as I was talking about Mars, well, Mars is in a water sign, Cancer. But believe it or not, he's sitting in trines with Venus in Scorpio and Saturn in Pisces. That makes a grand trine in the three water signs, which emphasizes emotion, sensitivity, creativity, imagination, intuition, and psychic ability, among other things. But those water signs are impressionable. They take in the information. And they work with it on a non-material level. And the three of them, Mars, Venus, and Saturn, they're all sitting in that perfect, well, I'm not going to say it's a perfect trine, because by numbers, it's not perfect, but it's pretty darn close. And in fact, Venus will be in a perfect trine with Saturn on Friday the 4th. But these three planets are all sitting there basically holding their own, having their own little party. And a grand water trine supports the adoption of new agreements that are favorable to all parties involved. And truthfully, I love to see Saturn in a good aspect, these positive aspects to Venus and Mars, anytime we're talking about love and romance. Because you get Saturn aligning with Venus and Mars, and see, Saturn is the planet of discipline and commitment. So in fact, and I've said this before, sometimes when somebody's asking me about a relationship, you know, I'm certainly looking to see what's going on with those inner planets. I'm looking to see what's happening with the seventh house. But I want to know what's happening with Saturn. Because, and I'm not going to go so far as to say if Saturn isn't involved, there's no commitment. But Saturn says, I'm committing to something. So when I see Saturn in a really good aspect of Venus and Mars, it's a positive thing. So believe it or not, a lot of these changes, these revisions or decisions or getting in a relationship, out of a relationship at this time, that Saturn is really supporting that. Saturn is saying, I'm making a commitment. And so Saturn isn't there to break something up. Saturn is there to say, I'm making a commitment. So are you making a commitment to yourself because there's something out of balance and you're not taking care of yourself? Or do you need to take care of yourself by being in a relationship and going all in? You know, once again, Mars is how I take action in the world. Venus is what, you know, is valuable and I find attractive. So Saturn is saying, okay, guys, what are you committing to in these two areas of your life? So it's a symbol of responsibly taking, or, you know, seriously taking responsibility, however you want to say that, and really honoring our connections. And so that's an interesting little piece sitting out there. And like I said, it's only Mars that is actually having an influence with the sun and the moon. But it basically, this grand trine out there is saying, I'm ready to make some commitments. But through Mars squaring, I want to see some re-priorities. I want to see some changes here. I want to see that you're awake and alive and really thinking through some of this stuff. So as we, you know, which brings me to one other topic I want to talk a little bit about, and that is, you know, I'm kind of calling it roundabouts. Because there again, I pay attention to what's going on, and it's been kind of an issue for me lately. But just really quickly, like yesterday, I drove somewhere and I had the choice. The most direct route is to go on a road that has three roundabouts. But it takes much longer to go another way, but then I won't have to go through any roundabouts. And I'll tell you, I somehow, maybe because I don't drive enough or I don't drive that road enough, I always get caught in those roundabouts and make at least one wrong choice. You know, exit too early, exit whatever. So they're kind of my nemesis. That's what it feels like to me. And so sure enough, but I just said, you know what? This is the fastest way to get there. And if I make a wrong turn, I'm just going to correct, just going to self-correct. And that's exactly what happened. I did make one. I got out of one roundabout too early because everything looks the same. I mean, that's it truly does. Around here, I feel like every single thing looks the same. There's not a lot of landmarks that you go, oh, that's different. So in any case, that whole idea of roundabout, though, where, you know, we're going round and round and we're not quite sure where to exit, we're not sure where to go, it can also be like, you know, we take these detours in life. We have these obstacles. We have these things going on. And by the way, thanks to one of my friends slash clients who I talked to yesterday. We had a little discussion about this. I so appreciate that. And in fact, I told him we're going to talk about this on radio tomorrow. So thank you so much for that discussion. I really enjoyed it. But with the roundabouts, or just kind of with this idea of, you know, if we stop and we yell and scream and kick and whatever, every time there's an obstacle, every time there's a misstep, every time we exit too early from the roundabout, or we're going round and round in the circles and we're not quite sure where to go, we spend a lot of unnecessary energy instead of thinking, maybe that's the perfect path for me. Maybe that's exactly what I need for this particular lifetime. Now, I'm not going to say that, yeah, I'm just going to throw all kinds of problems into my life or anything. But what I'm saying is the attitude that we have, what if we could assume that, just like I had suggested earlier, maybe we don't know what the perfect path is for somebody else. Maybe we don't know what the perfect path is for us either. And what if this particular obstacle, this particular roundabout, this particular situation is exactly what we needed to see at this moment? You know, and I have told you this before. I used to just kind of have this little joke with myself because I was getting lost all the time when I moved to a new city, you know, which I don't do very often, but I had moved and I was getting lost all the time. But every single time I got lost, I realized later I needed to know that exact location. So what if a lot of the detours we take and a lot of these obstacles or things that seem to come in our path and we go, I didn't want that. Maybe it's exactly what we needed. You know, maybe we don't know at that moment, at that time, but maybe it is exactly what we needed. So I just want to plant that idea, and not that you just go, I'm going to be a martyr and I'm just going to have this obstacle in my life, but changing our attitude about what it can mean. Maybe it gives us, maybe that block says, hey, I need to recalibrate. You know, I need to look at this differently. And that kind of brings me to another idea with the eclipse is, you know that saying, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear? Well, that's true of our lives in many, many ways. That when we're ready to change, or when we're ready to be open to something, the information's going to be there. You know, we don't have to overanalyze everything. And in fact, I'd almost like to end today's show with that idea of, we don't need to know how. A lot of times we think we need to know how, why and how, and every way that it's going to come together. And you know what? We don't. And in fact, sometimes I think that mostly interferes with our ability. So you know what? What if you just said, yeah, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. I will today have access to all the information that I need. I will have access to whatever is necessary in my life. It's going to be there. And I'm going to use every single thing that is there for me today. You know, that's how it works. And so those darn roundabouts, you know, I will keep going into the roundabouts until I master them. Or maybe not. Maybe some days I'm just going to go the other way and say, you know what, I'm not going to irritate myself today. I'm just going to go this other direction. So I do, before we close the show today, I want to shout out, I know there's a lot of comments in over on Facebook. And so thank you all for being there. And I just want to see if there's any questions. Pam, thank you so much. Happy October to you too. And Renee, thank you for being here. And Quelly, she says greetings to the entire family and to Jay. And let's see, Anne says she's looking forward to listening to the replay. Yes, it's usually there on Tuesday afternoon. I get it there as soon as I can. And Alishea, you say the best notebook you've ever read. I'm assuming that you're talking about Jan Spiller's book on astrology for the soul. Thank you for that. And you say your Libra is in, you've got in the fifth house. Okay, well, that could be a lot of, you know, I always think of the fifth house as play, the child, you know, creativity, like really, you know, it's also dating and just having fun, you know, really expressing yourself. So that could be really wonderful if that, you know, eclipse is there. So yeah, I hope that that works out really well for you. And Peggy, thank you for being here today. Good morning. I hope your show was great. I was kind of doing some stuff with the dog today. Had to get him ready for a grooming appointment, but thank you very much for being here today. And Judith, yeah, she said she took ballet as a child, and the instructor said the string pulls you up from the tip top of your head and runs right through the center and keeps you rooted to the earth. Ballerinas are centered, strong, and they can leap. Yes, thank you that for that. And taking ballet, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? Because it's, like I said, I will never forget. I can literally see myself standing in that class going, oh my God, balance and equity is really different than I thought. And also, Judith, thank you for talking about the archive shows, because they're always there. You can always listen when it's easy for you. So, hey, everybody, thank you for all your comments today, and thanks for being here. I would like to close with at least a quote, and I have a bunch of quotes because there's so many people that have Mercury and the Sun in Libra. And so I'm going to say a couple as we close the show today. I can't do them all, but Louise Hay, which of course many of you know, I love this. When there is a problem, there's not something to do. There's something to know. And see, once again, I love that. You know, take a different approach. Bill Gates has Mars, Mercury, and Neptune in Libra and says, our success has really been based on partnerships from the very beginning. And I love this one too. He says, headlines in a way are what mislead you, because bad news is a headline and gradual improvement is not. And I like that too, because how often do we just get discouraged? You know, we recalibrate, you know, we redo something and say, okay, I did it. Well, guess what? It's a process. We need to do it multiple times often before it really becomes the pattern that we want it to be. Like Margaret Thatcher, who also had Sun, Mercury, and Mars in Libra, says, you may have to fight a battle more than once to win it, right? So, and of course, we'll close with Gandhi. Our greatest ability as humans is not to change the world, but to change ourselves. And actually, I lied. We're going to go one more. Deepak Chopra, who has Sun, Neptune, Chiron in Libra. To acquire true self-power, you have to feel beneath no one, be immune to criticism, and be fearless. So see, there you hear that kind of opposition to Libra, all that Aries. Okay, all right. Well, you guys, thank you so much for being here today. This has been fun. I hope you have a wonderful experience with the eclipse and just all kinds of little toads hop into your life or whatever omens and messages that you want to receive, that they're there. Just be open. They're going to be there. So thanks for joining me, and to all the people in the chat room. Thanks to our producer, Jay Varvel. And please stay tuned for Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone. She's coming up next. This is CA signing out. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology on 1-2 Radio. But you can also find me on 1-2listen.com. I will try to be there as much as possible on Wednesday for the eclipse and throughout the week. But always remember, you can request a schedule call at a time that works for you. So, you know, just request, and if I'm available, we'll do it. We'll get together. We'll talk about where that eclipse is happening in your chart. Or if you need a little assistance in recalibrating or getting some ideas, I will be your cheerleader and your support system. So thank you so much for listening. We are signing out. This is 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that we listen to the world.